Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. We've got a very sexy week for you.
Sexy, strange week, I guess.
Yes, it's going to be strange. Somehow, I don't doubt that it's going to be strange.
Two fat guys on the radio talking about
sex and city. Murder.
And murder.
Yes. We're going to obviously talk about Sex and the City, the movie, the great return of Sex and the City.
Okay. And then Murder the Musical.
No, we're gonna also talk about the Rogue Pictures release, The Strangest, which every time I hear that title reminds me of the scene in Gone in 60 Seconds where he's explaining The Stranger.
What? And
do you remember that scene in Gone in 60 Seconds?
The
one with Nicolas Cage?
The new remake? One.
Where he's sitting there and they're just sitting there waiting for the other guys to get back, and he's talking about how he sits on his hand till it goes numb. And they call it The Stranger.
Oh.
And the other guy just kind of looks over and goes, The Stranger.
Okay. Yeah, this is
really
not appropriate
weird.
For radio.
Probably not. I don't know what they're talking about, but
Whatever.
Anyways, before we get into The Strangers, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over on fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail at our newly working phone number, area code 614-388-8735.
Or you can come to Columbus, Ohio and just wander around the streets calling our names.
Yeah, it's actually not that hard to find us, I'm told.
Somebody found us at the Sex and the City screening.
Yes.
No, somebody didn't find us.
Well, somebody was looking for us, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, and we weren't even in Columbus. We were in Cincinnati.
That's right.
We drove 2 hours to see Sex and the City.
And we spooned.
Yeah.
There is no Biggest Loser reject update because
we're all just fat.
We're fat and we're in our denial stage.
Right. We are still going through with the whole Biggest Reject Loser thing. I think really the key weigh-ins are the first one and the last one. Everything in between doesn't really matter. Yeah, no one even cares.
You'd like cut off an arm before. Be like, look, I lost 15 pounds last night.
Yeah, I don't think my arms weigh 15 pounds.
They probably weigh more than 15 pounds.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how the weight gets divided.
I've got a baby at home who's 10.
Okay.
And he's maybe about the size of your arm.
I don't know.
But it's a lot cuter.
Okay,
your arm
fair
is
enough.
does not hold a candle.
Your
the
young
cuteness.
Child is more better looking than my
your
arm.
Arm.
Fair enough.
With that weird growth near the elbow. That's disgusting.
What?
It's different colors.
Stop it.
It's like green.
Anyways.
Is that healthy?
What's on the agenda?
The agenda.
The actual film talking agenda.
We're going to
talk about a movie.
Should we just launch right in?
Why not?
Okay, first one we're going to talk about is The Strangers. A young couple is terrorized by a mysterious group of three strangers at a remote cabin.
I think one of the strangers is Kevin Carr.
I haven't heard a dog bark or a car pass. Nothing.
Hello?
What is it?
It's my phone.
Oh my god.
We gotta get out of here.
Then open the door and I just want you to run, okay?
Why are you doing this to us?
Because you were home.
If you are familiar with the comedy of Eddie Murphy, there is a...
Where are you going with this?
Oh, trust me, it's completely relevant.
Okay.
He has this whole bit, and I think it's his comedian tape. It's called Comedian. Back from the 80s, where he talks about how, why there are no horror movies... All the horror movies and slasher movies are all about white people because the white people stick around. And he's like, he uses the example of Amityville Horror. He's like, if you're in the ghetto and you walk in the room and you hear this, get out, they leave. It's only the white people who stick around. The Strangers really reminded me of that because this is a movie about people who had dozens of opportunities to escape and save themselves and never do.
Sure.
I mean, it's sort of like it's a story about this couple, and they go to this cabin, and then these people start terrorizing them. But the point is, it's pretty obvious really early on that these are bad people, and they're not just people just accidentally showing up at their house. Like, there's a scene where the guy goes out, Scott Speedman, who mumbles through the whole movie from Felicity. He goes out to go get cigarettes, and Liv Tyler's left at home, and like the people are like at the window with creepy masks and banging on the door and breaking into the house. And when he's on his way home, she calls him. She's like, there are people here. And he's like, no, there aren't. I'm sorry, but if I were like at a cabin with my wife and she's like, there are people trying to get in, I'm like, okay, hang up for me, call 911. I will be there and I will pull up in the front and you'll just leap into the car and then we'll be gone.
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of series of that. So while I thought the imagery was incredible, it was very well shot, very creepy. And it definitely had its jump moments. It just, there was so much of things saying, well, that's just dumb for them to do.
Okay. Well, so, I would say that you're right and wrong all at the same time.
You just
which is
say
generally
I'm wrong.
The way that you float through the universe is right and wrong all at the same time. Nice. But I thought that the simplicity of this film works for me. And it is very creepy. I know that there's a scene that you can see in the poster where Liv Tyler is it's early on in the film where she's in the kitchen and you just see this dude like come out of the darkness and just stand there with the mask on. And it's, you think it's only going to take like 2 seconds and then maybe she realizes he's there, but no, it goes on for a few minutes.
Cause she's an absolute moron.
It is creepy. And yes, they are morons. They probably could have escaped, but I thought looking at other horror movies that I've seen this year and looking at other, I guess other horror movies that I've seen in the last say 5 years or movies that have come out, really, it falls into one of two categories. It's either adapted from some kind of Asian horror, or it's torture porn.
Yeah.
And I think this is a little bit of a change up, and I can appreciate that. And I can say, just like you said, director Brian Bertino, it is a very well-shot film. It is, at times, extremely creepy. It has its problems. I saw points in the movie where it could have been scarier, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought it was well made. It's a good change of pace. It's a solid flick for people that want to go see a movie with a couple good jump scares.
Yeah, if you just want to see a series of jump scares, kind of that cat and mouse chase, because that's really all it is.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that really bothers me is it opens with this kind of pretentious sort of Texas Chainsaw Massacre narration, and they show like the aftermath of it in the first scene, so you kind of know what happens. That's true. You know, horror movies tend to be predictable, but if they hadn't have done that, and then it's also inspired by true events. I looked it up, and it's supposedly inspired partly by the Manson family murders,
right?
And which everybody knows, but it's also these things called the Keddie Resort murders, which happened in like 1981, where these people just came in and like killed a family. But what it's the real story behind it
is way creepier than the movie
because they kill this family and it's like this mother and daughter and their like 15-year-old kid. They like bludgeon them to death and all that kind of sort of thing, but they leave like there's like three toddlers in the bedroom that they just completely leave alone,
right?
And I'm like, that's way creepier and more twisted than anything that you really see in this movie.
Yeah, I think it was more of a safer type horror movie, but it is worth going to see if you are starved for good horror, which we haven't seen a whole lot of that lately.
It's also reminded me a lot of Funny Games, but much better than Funny
Games.
Way
better than Funny Games. Funny Games was poop on toast.
Okay.
Yeah, without butter.
Like so, that would make it better.
But The Strangers, I'm going to say it kind of rocks. Definitely worth going to see. Very well crafted film.
I'm
going to
say kind of sucks.
Okay, fair enough. We'll be right back to talk about sex.
You know, I used to watch Sex and the City, and it was sort of interesting.
Don't lie, you're a huge fan.
Well, let's put it this way. When I canceled HBO, I didn't worry about getting it anymore.
Whatever.
So I guess I just said I didn't get any sex after I canceled HBO.
Yep.
So there you go. But I will say that the way you left that last segment sort of made me really feel dirty inside.
I made you feel uncomfortable? That's
yes.
A first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it just creeped me out.
Yeah.
Anywho, Sex and the City, I watched the show back when it was when I had HBO, and then I, like for the last 2-3 years, I didn't have HBO, so I didn't watch it.
Right.
And it's not that I was a fan of it. It's just I kind of was – initially, I thought the show was terrible.
Okay.
And I'd watch it as sort of like, I can't believe they're actually making a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, it was like watching a train wreck. And then I, the only character that I really thought ever had any depth was Miranda, who's the redheaded one.
Right.
Because basically what it was is Carrie was the narrator and her thing was just angst of having a relationship, breaking up, back and forth, back and forth.
Right.
Then there was Charlotte, who was the prude. And really, she wasn't a prude in the traditional sense. She was a prude because, you know, she wouldn't do certain acts that are named after a place in the Mediterranean. Let's just say that. Are you still trying to figure this one out?
I have no idea what that means.
She wouldn't do it up the butt.
Oh, up the butt.
Yeah, okay. Well,
there's a place in the Mediterranean called up the butt?
No. No, but we'll probably have to bleep that one out for the radio. Anyways, that was her definition of prude.
Okay.
And then there was Samantha, who was just a complete and total slut.
Right.
I mean, just like unabashed. And it's just like, she ends up, and what's the funny thing is in the show, she ends up getting cancer. She doesn't get like AIDS.
Right.
which she probably should have gotten. Because of just the wild, crazy, promiscuous sex.
Okay.
She ended up getting cancer. And the ironic thing is it was Miranda who got chlamydia. Go figure.
Well, yeah, you'll have that.
So, but anyways, the only one I thought had any depth or any character to it was Miranda. And in the movie, actually, I think Miranda was the most interesting.
Get ahead of yourself. You're already reviewing the movie here.
Okay. I'm just rambling about
this. We're just telling our Sex and the City experiences beforehand.
Yes.
Then we're going to talk about the movie afterwards.
Yes, but this has been rumored for a while, and wasn't it Kim Cattrall that they were trying to get on board for this?
Yeah, it took her a long time to sign on because it wasn't necessarily the money thing. I heard it was more of a she was just worried about doing it again and how that would affect her image.
And then
the money thing probably turned her around.
Well, and then she sat there and she says, "No, I want to do huge blockbusters that will completely change my name, like Ice Princess."
Yeah, something like that. Well, I mean, for me, I really never watched the show. I would say I watched a cumulative of about 4 or 5 hours of the show in bits and pieces.
Okay.
So I was a good gauge going into the film, and I had very little experience with it other than I knew that there were a lot of female friends that I have that loved it, loved the show.
Yeah, there's like a crazy
extremely
love. Yeah.
Excited for the movie. And I will say that it was a very interesting screening experience.
Yes, this.
But I think we'll talk about that in a second. Let's play a clip.
Okay, if you don't know what you're talking about, it's Sex and the City. The four girls from Manhattan are back in this feature-length follow-up to the wildly popular HBO original series.
Should we get you a diamond?
No, just get me a really big closet.
I can't believe you're even dressing up.
The only two choices for women, witch and sexy kitten.
Oh, you just said a mouthful there, sister.
Life doesn't always turn out to be your fantasy. That's why you need friendships that are real to get you through it all.
You're now... We usually decide who's going to come back from the clips.
Sorry. I was so entranced by that trailer.
You were watching the little dot move across the screen.
Well, I will say it was one of the more interesting screening experiences we've had.
Yes, tell about how we did.
I was actually very upset before the movie started that I did not win the spa treatment that they were giving away.
I thought you were more upset that you didn't win what they gave away after the spa treatment.
Right, which are...
Yes.
Pleasure toys? Is that a safe way to say that?
I don't think there's any safe way to say that. Let's just say they're anatomical things that are made out of non-anatomical materials.
They gave away sex toys at the at the movie screening. So that's probably a first for us of all the movies screenings that we've ever been to.
Well, what's funny
is... I don't think I've ever seen that before.
It was, what, like a 400, 500 seat theater? And
yeah.
I think there were like six guys in there.
Right. And,
two of them were us. Two fat guys sitting together.
Yes, it did not look weird at all. But I will say it says a lot about there's a core audience for this film, and it's.
But it was there was a lot of attractive ladies in tight little black dresses and high heels. So I was okay.
Right.
And then there was like that 20% of them that looked like us but were women. There was no middle ground with this screening for some strange reason.
Right, but that's okay. I think there's a really great base for this. It's almost like I would compare the fan reaction. Well, I would compare the fan base to almost like Indiana Jones' fan base, but Indiana Jones is a rabid young, well, not even young anymore, male audience.
Well, it was interesting going to see because having seen Indiana Jones in that early press screening, you got everyone like kind of like you can feel the excitement.
Right.
Same thing here. Like the Absolutely. Second the Sex and the City logo came out, people clapped and people cheered
and laughed hard during the film. And really, as far as the film goes, I thought it was a very accessible and entertaining flick. I did not feel left out, having not been a fan of the series. You know, it's not like if they were to make an Arrested Development movie and I know all the one-liners from the entire series. I went into it with very little knowledge, and I didn't feel left out with any of the jokes. And I could tell, just based on the reaction of the people sitting around us, that it was really kind of a blitz of nostalgia to a certain extent. There were a lot of moments in the film that were probably taken from the series. I know there was even some wardrobe that was taken from the series.
Yeah, there's a whole sequence where Carrie is trying on different outfits, and they're the really wild and crazy stuff she wore in the right. series. And so everyone's laughing, and as I lean over to Neil, and I'm like, those are, because I recognize some mm-hmm. of the outfits. I'm like, those are things she wore, and because if you didn't know that, you'd be like, this is the right. most bizarre.
Except for the one that you see that was like on the box cover.
Yeah, well, it's the one with the weird sort of leotard with
just, you like know, a poofy
the ballerina
skirt?
Tutu.
I don't know. We're not that into fashion.
I kicked your mic. Sorry.
That's okay. We're not that into fashion, but I tell you, it was a lot of fun and well made. Just I would say it is just as good as the series was.
Mm. It's a little different in the sense that the series was sort of like the raunch of the week.
Right.
Because they do when they, okay, now we're going to do an episode on tantric sex.
Right.
Now we're going to do an episode on golden showers.
Right.
I don't know if I can say that on the radio
wow.
either.
We are really testing our boundaries here today.
All over this section. But, and they didn't have that as much because it's not like, okay, today we're going to do the movie about.
Right. You know, it felt like a complete film. It almost felt like it was episodic in the sense that it had. There, it was longer, and it felt like it was just three episodes put together, but it was still a single story arc that went through all of them. So,
well, I read on the internet an article that they mm-hmm. were set before we saw it. And I was kind of scared when I read this. They said we're going to give each woman a storyline,
right?
And I'm like, wow, four storylines in a movie, that's going to be excruciating. But I thought they weaved them together,
yeah,
very well.
They all fit together pretty yeah. well. I thought, honestly, the easiest thing I can say is for all the fans of the series, I think that they're going to love it, because unlike the Indiana Jones fans that are upset at every little thing that didn't go perfectly from that didn't translate perfectly from what movie they had in their head to the screen, mm-hmm. I really honestly think the fan base for this film is just happy to have it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just happy to see those four women up on screen in those characters. And I noticed that it felt like, even walking out and talking with people, it felt like they played it safe to make the movie. There wasn't it felt like a really safe effort.
Yeah.
Wasn't anything. They didn't go crazy with anything.
The underlying storyline is the relationship between Carrie and Big,
right?
Which has been going on literally since the show started. Yeah. I think.
So it felt like more like an extension of the show.
Yeah.
Instead of going into crazy movie mode.
Well, I like the fact that they didn't try and suddenly bring in a brand new character and a no. They didn't like suddenly mm-hmm. say let's top what was on the show, because first of all it was on HBO, so they had every piece of raunch, nudity, and sex
right.
you could have mm-hmm. already, this movie seemed to be made to sort of really tie up and give a swan song for the audience yeah. and for like the guys out there. I'm going to go out on a limb mm-hmm. for the guys out there who are going to be dragged to see this by their wives and girlfriends.
Yep.
If you're going to go to this movie with the anticipation of having your own sex at home later. You could do a lot worse, because this movie is actually somewhat enjoyable and funny,
right?
Even for somebody who's never watched the series and is a guy.
Yes, I'm safe in the fact that I will say that I will admit that I liked it.
You can enjoy this movie no matter where your reproductive organs are,
inside or outside.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's time to give it a grade here. I'm going to give it a totally rocks.
Totally rocks?
Because I think
it would be kind of rocks.
I think it not only satisfies the fan base, but it is accessible enough for any guy who must go see it. All right, now, Kevin, this next segment, we always do box office. And I think this week is going to be a lot tougher than it has been in the last weeks because we've been so kind of up and down. Iron Man was an easy one to predict, and then Speed Racer just failed miserably. But I think we predicted it that it wouldn't do as well.
I don't think we predicted as poorly.
As bad as it was. And then we were, I think we were both way off on Chronicles of Narnia.
Well, but no,
I think everyone in the world was way
off. They weren't way off. It was like $15 million away from its target, as opposed to like Speed Racer, which was like 30% of what people were expecting it to make.
Yeah, well, let me just put it this way. The Chronicles of Narnia was so bad that Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, came out today and said, yeah, we probably should release it during Christmas and not in the middle of May.
It's not so... This is the thing. In nowadays, it's not... This is the thing that does irritate me is when a movie... It was number one. It's made $100 million so far, and they're kind of like, oh, yeah. It's not that good.
Still successful, just not as successful as they wanted it to be. Well, and then...
Hollywood does that, though. They'll sit there, and they've done it every single week. They've said, like, $110 million for Iron Man, and it came out with, like, $101. They said, like, $40 million for Speed Racer, came out $18.70 for... And even Indiana Jones are like, it could make as much as $175 million, and it might top Pirates of the Caribbean for biggest Memorial Day opening, and it didn't. And they were kind of like, oh, is this a flop? And you're like,
right.
The movie's made, like, $1 billion.
Yeah, it made $311 million worldwide. In between, what was it, Tuesday night when it came out, and then on Monday morning, it was $311 million.
And here's the reality of, like, Indiana Jones. It, within that first weekend, within the first 5 days, it made enough money worldwide to cover its entire budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of its print and advertising costs and all of its cuts to the studio. So everything it made from Tuesday on is profit, just raw profit.
So, and it officially became the first $100 million movie on a weekend. It was the first, because Iron Man came in at 99.2 million and Indiana Jones made 100.1 million.
Yeah.
And it's first film of the year to hit three.
And the other thing about Prince Caspian is it's starting to roll out into the international market too. I predict it's going to actually do very well overseas.
Well, let's take a look here. It's currently at 152 million.
Yes.
And as of going into this weekend.
Well, yeah, but it just opened last weekend in like Italy and Japan.
Right.
But it's still bringing in some decent numbers. I think by the end of the summer, you're still looking at it going to have a $300 to $400 million gross worldwide.
So now this weekend, our task is to predict how much Sex and the City is going to make. And I think that's a really tough one.
That is a tough one because, you know what, I'm looking at two different sources that are separated by a $20 million figure.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot.
Because it's not like between 130 and 110 million. I mean, we're talking...
Like from 35 to 55.
Right. And it could... It is going to be an incredibly tough one for Sex and the City. I think there's a huge core audience for it. So I think it will go over 30.
Oh, easy. I think it's easy over 30. But wow.
But I almost get the feeling as if that might not even be enough to top Indiana Jones.
I would not be surprised if Indiana Jones came in number one for a second weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think Sex and the City is going to, because this is what's going to happen. Watch the early numbers on this.
Right.
Like when they get their midnight shows and their Friday numbers, they're going to be like, oh, it's going to be 58 million over the weekend based on the Friday numbers. But I really think what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of people, the fans, it's a core audience fan movie, like Serenity. I don't know if you remember seeing that.
Yeah.
That one did very well early numbers, and then it just dropped really fast because if you weren't a fan of the show, well, that one was a little harder to follow if you weren't a fan, if you didn't watch the show, but it also, you didn't bring people out to see it. I really don't see there being a lot of people who've never watched Sex and the City are going to be like, hey, let's watch it now.
Right.
It's going to be all the fans, and I don't see it as a repeat viewing movie either.
I don't know. I honestly think that Sex and the City might have a decent amount of longevity in the box.
Did you talk
office.
To your ladies' friends who...
Oh, they loved it.
Well, but did you ask them if they're going to see it again?
No, I didn't. I should have.
I'd be curious to know whether they would go and see, especially go pay and see it again.
Right.
Because once you know what happens and how it happens, it's... I would imagine it might be a little pedantic a second time, even if you're a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
Because part of the show
I'm
is you
really
wanted
sure
to watch
it. I'm not
really
sure what pedantic means, but...
Oh, okay. And you're the one who calls me a lowbrow elitist. Go get a thesaurus, you loser.
I don't know what a thesaurus is.
Yeah, I know.
Not really sure about all that.
It's a book. You ever see these things? They got paper in them?
Yeah.
And they're bound.
I only read the ones written by Chuck Palahniuk.
Okay. Who's that?
This guy wrote Fight Club.
Oh, whatever. Wow. Whatever.
You're just gone. Anyways. So, what were we even talking about?
We got really catty. We turned into
two old women.
Yes, yeah, so we're like,
we have been watching Sex and the City too much.
You don't know what pedantic is. Anyway.
So, you're saying no repeat viewings from core fans? Well,
not
limited.
A huge. Like Indiana Jones, I can see people going and seeing that again and again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw it and then I took my kids and I was not bored.
Right.
Whereas, like, I saw the water horse, and then I took my kids, and I was a little bored seeing the water horse a second time.
Right. Okay.
But I really think you got people who are going to... And I think there are some people who stayed away from Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
waiting to see what it did, and also didn't want to get caught in the crowds.
Right.
Sex and the City, it's sort of like Sex and the City.
I want to get caught in that crowd.
Oh, I'll tell you. Of course, I'd be stuck with a woman who looked like me, only less attractive. Or looked like you and us put together. Morph us together... And don't take away any of the weight. And that was some, I am being really mean
really,
right now.
I'm not even following.
I like the hot girls in the little black dresses at that movie.
Okay.
That's what I liked.
I'm sure. I'm just going to let you stand on an island with that comment.
I've alienated my rabid female fans.
All right. So time to predict. My prediction for this weekend's box office
$12.
Is Indiana Jones is coming in at number one. Sex and City coming in at number two. I'm thinking both of them in between 30 and 40 million.
Okay.
And then from there, it's going to be the same story. I think it'd be Iron Man and then The Strangers and then all those other movies that came out weeks ago.
I'm going to say that I'm going to agree with you that I really do think... I think Indiana Jones has a good shot of around the 40 million range of 40, 42 million to get number one. I think Sex and the City is going to be like 35. That is my joke on that. It's going to... And then I think it's going to be a Narnia, Iron Man... and then The Strangers, and then like everything else sort
right.
of floating around. They're separated by $1 million.
Okay.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, I think it's time to do some news. We haven't done a whole lot of news in the last couple weeks.
No, we haven't.
So let's do this thing.
Okay.
First topic I have for you is that...
Sydney
Pollack died. Very sad. Very sad. And I think we were talking about this on the way home from the screening the other night, that one of the saddest things about that is that his last movie was Maid of Honor.
I know.
And the man was fantastic. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Michael Clayton,
mm-hmm.
but he was great in it. I mean, he's great even in Maid of Honor. Crap movie, but his two scenes,
he was literally
awesome.
Literally the best part of the movie.
Yeah. So extremely sad. Rest in peace to Sydney Pollack. He was 73. Died of
cancer.
Cancer.
And nobody nobody knew.
Right. No. Well,
he did.
He just. Recently did a movie and looked fine.
Yeah, well, you know? And it was like, I think he was diagnosed like 9 months ago, and they didn't make a big deal out of it, and his
right.
family knew and everything, and he, you know, just at home.
Yeah.
So, because you do a search, and like, there's no, like, like when Patrick Swayze has cancer.
Right.
Everyone knows he has cancer.
That's a big deal.
Which,
apparently.
And he's got a bad cancer, too.
Right.
That's, but, so.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. Well, moving on to some other things. We've got some casting rumors flying around. One of them is James McAvoy has been rumored to be in line to play Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit.
Yes.
What do you think of that? How does that make you feel?
Kamikar? Okay. This is the thing. If it was like 3 years ago, I would have been like totally awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm just sort of suffering from James McAvoy overload.
Okay.
He's been in so many movies, and
I think
still
he's going to be awesome in Wanted. I think Wanted is going to be awesome, and people are going to see him more as a versatile actor than just.
I have no problem with him. I'm kind of tired of seeing him showing up. And same thing. It always happens that every year you have one or two actors that just are in everything.
Right.
Jude Law did that a couple years ago. Just like you couldn't go to see a movie without running into Jude Law. He was even at the theater watching his own movie. I'm just like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm just seeing my movie, man.
In Columbus, Ohio.
Exactly. But yeah, I just get, that is really my only problem with, because I like him. I think he's a good actor. I think he's a great guy. Well, I don't know about personally, but
yeah,
I'm cool with him every other way, except I'm just tired of seeing him.
Yeah. I'm not into The Hobbit. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't into Lord of the Rings either.
I'm not a huge Lord of the Rings
fan.
They
put me to sleep.
I have to say that I appreciate them for what they are, and I know, again, for the fans, they worked out, but they were just
they weren't
way
that exciting.
Too long.
Yeah.
The Two Towers was cool. But Return of the King was like 4 hours of endings.
The Two Towers was the second one, right?
Yes.
I don't remember because they all just kind of blurred together as one big nap.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and here's some other news topic number two that kind of enraged me this week. MGM came out and talked about that wanting to do Rocky number 7.
What's wrong with that?
Well, here's the problem with Rocky
number 7. You can fight James McAvoy.
Here's the problem that I have with doing another Rocky movie. It would be the problem, it's relevant because I just watched Rambo the other night for the first time.
Rocky should fight Rambo.
Rocky and Rambo, well, that would be weird.
That would be
but
awesome.
I think I liked Rocky Balboa. I thought it tied the series together extremely well and really kind of sent Rocky off with a pat on the back and a nice wave and said, this is going to be your last hurrah. And I thought Stallone did it very well with that in mind, with this will be the last Rocky movie. It'll be a nice nostalgic thing to send him off. Then it made a lot of money. The same thing with Rambo. If you've seen Rambo, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, it's out on DVD this week. It's one of those movies that it ends the series. Rambo doesn't like get killed or anything, but it pretty much closes things down to where if that was the last movie, I would not be disappointed. Same thing I feel with Rocky. So I think,
but they're talking about like a couple months ago doing another Rambo movie.
I don't think that's right either. I think that Stallone should start bringing back his other characters like Judge Dredd and Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Movies that didn't have a whole lot of shelf life.
He could get
Wesley Snipes out of jail
to revise the role of Simon Phoenix.
Yes.
Do like the early years where Rocky, where Demolition Man, what was his name? John something or other? John?
No idea.
Where he like looks like 50 years older than he did, but it's like a prequel. And it could show his history with Simon Phoenix.
Right. So I don't think we need another Rocky movie. To be honest with you,
Rocky, I'm not a huge supporter of that. I'd like to see more Rambo movies, though.
Yeah, I mean, but they could make, I don't know, whatever. So, what else do I have here?
Can we talk about Sharon Stone?
If you want to.
Well, we only got 40 seconds. She came out and said that the Chinese earthquake was bad karma coming back at the Chinese for the way they treat Tibet. And I'm like, oh, really? Those like 70,000 people who died, who are like farmers and innocent people at home and little children, are suffering the wrath of karma for what the government did 500 miles away. This woman is an idiot.
And when I watched the comment, it's not one of those comments that it looks like she did for publicity. It was just
she's
her being
moron.
Stupid. Really, yeah. That's all it was.
You're right. So, you're right, Neil Miller. I agree with you on
so
that.
So, Sharon Stone, you are our idiot of the week.
Ding!
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are back at Fat Guys at the Movies, and we are in the exclusive, coveted, and very world famous, at least in Ohio, exclusive internet only segment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and. Okay, I was trying to be witty. I was trying to be like you, Neil.
I have nothing to say to that. Well, in our internet-only segment, we are going to...
Where we can say up the butt.
We're going to talk...
And golden shower.
We're going to talk about chick flicks because this has been a weekend that everyone is dreading, I would say. Everyone with a penis is dreading this weekend because Sex and the City is... looming right around the corner, and it is here now this weekend. So we thought we'd give you a list of 10 chick flicks that are okay for guys.
Yes,
that are good movies for dudes as well.
Yeah, that guys can enjoy.
Right, because I think honestly we can both agree, or at least I think, that Sex and the City is okay for guys too.
Yeah, because it has a poop your pants scene.
It has a poop your pants scene and some sex.
Yeah, a little bit of sex.
Yeah.
And I will give them credit that we didn't have to see necessarily the 40-something-year-old women. Oh, yeah, can I throw something else out here? I read a bit on the internet. We'll just go back to the box office.
Okay.
This is a quote from Steve Mason, who's a box office analyst.
Yep.
Said, final tracking, and this is where I got the $35 million. $35 million possible for Sex and the City becoming the all-time number one opening for a feature film starring a woman 40-plus.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's like a baseball statistic where they're like, this is his batting average in fields on the East Coast on real dirt.
on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
With one light out in the stands.
Yeah, exactly. Just these bizarre stats. Like, do they keep stats like that? Do they sit there?
Apparently they do. Wow. I don't know. Well, it is a rare thing to see a movie with the four headlining stars, you know, 40 plus.
Well, it was funny. I was on the radio with Sterling not too long ago. He's a host out here in the Midwest. And his big thing on Sex and the City was he's like, do you get to see Kristen Davis naked? I could care less about everybody else, but do you get to see her naked?
And everybody's into that Kristen Davis.
You almost get to see her naked, but she's totally wearing pasties.
Right.
And it's like to the point that you see her breast.
Right.
With no nipples. She looks like a Barbie doll. It is the most obvious computer-generated pasty cover that I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And I've seen a lot.
But you do get to see her.
You get to see her back.
Yeah.
And you don't even get
she's
to
got
see
a nice
her
back.
Butt. You don't even get to see her butt.
Yeah. So
but she does poop her pants.
Anyways.
If you're into that.
Let's move on and do
the top 10 chick flick movies with somebody pooping their pants. do you know where there's another chick flick not too long ago
where somebody pooped their pants?
A woman almost pooped her pants?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Was it The Hottie and the Naughty?
No. No. It was 2 weeks notice with Sandra Bullock.
I didn't even see it.
There's a scene where she had to take a crap really, really bad, which I remember seeing that going, that's actually pretty.
Oh my God, women actually poop.
Well, but they don't usually have the sex symbol doing that on screen.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, you don't even get it. There's very few movies where you're going to see Brad Pitt taking a crap. Although I'm sure there are some.
Who knows? I don't know how did we go wrong here?
Shall we get back on the top?
We're doing the 10 chick flicks that guys can like too.
And poop your pants.
If you must poop your pants.
These are movies.
But in the meantime, Kevin's going to give you number 10.
Number 10 is Father of the Bride. And actually, as a caveat, anything really from Nancy Myers, because I think of all the chick flick kind of movie directors, she's the one. She's an oddity because she's a woman, which actually, believe it or not, most chick flicks are directed by guys.
Right.
But she's a woman director, and she's actually very accessible to men, I think, as a director. She also did stuff
she's
like...
She's very accessible to men?
Well, yeah.
That sounds dirty.
Well, it's okay.
Okay, fair enough.
She did What Women Want with Mel Gibson The Holiday. I mean, these are movies that I think you can enjoy.
The Holiday was... I'm a big fan of Jack Black. I'm not afraid to say that I like that
movie. He scats in that movie.
He scats in every movie.
But he doesn't scat in his pants.
Although we were trying to figure out if he scatted in King Kong the other night. We can't figure that one out.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Anyways,
I think you're right.
Number 9.
That's me. Feast of Love. It came out not too long ago. And it's not
It looks
like,
interesting.
The reason DVD it looks shelf. Interesting is everybody's naked in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, Rhoda Mitchell and...
I literally have it sitting over there on my table, and I'm like, every time I look at it, I'm like, I just don't feel like watching it right now.
Yeah, and like that, what's her name? Alexa Davalos, Daravis from The Mist.
Yeah.
She's totally naked in it. It's an awesome movie just to see people naked. And then, so at least if you got to suffer through it, it's sort of like the movie about love.
Yes.
You get to see people naked.
Right, because as our female listeners can confirm, all men are led around by their. Obsession.
Selma Blair's naked in it?
For nudity.
Selma Blair's naked.
We will go see. Boobs do make a movie better.
Boobs do make a movie better.
As we've said from the beginning. Number 8 is actually one of my favorite kind of holiday movies now. It has not overtaken National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Nothing ever will.
But it has shown up on a list or two before.
It has shown up on a list or two. It's Love Actually. It is a movie set in London. It stars...
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley's in it.
Hugh Grant.
That other girl...
The other girl?
Liam Neeson, isn't it?
He's not a girl.
It's a really sweet and fun movie, and I think it's got, very underestimated.
Name? It's got the other guy from Bridget Jones's Diary, too.
Yeah.
That one could have made the list.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chewy.
Is in it.
Chewy's awesome.
So I'm just proud that I can pronounce his entire name. So Love Actually, probably, I think it's the only holiday movie on our list.
Yeah.
And moving on to number 7 is Pretty Woman. This is actually a favorite of... one of my ex-girlfriends is like her favorite movie of all time.
Really, what was his name?
Funny. But it's about prostitutes.
Yes! And you get to see Julia Roberts' boobs.
Yeah, so really, there's no negative side to Pretty Woman, even though it's got Richard Gere.
Which, Richard Gere's okay.
That was back in the days before Richard Gere went like crazy.
That was before he like grew long hair and started talking about the Dalai Lama on the Oscars.
Exactly. So
like Sharon Stone, who's like, oh, the Dalai Lama, who's a very good friend of mine. Like, you're an idiot. He just likes you because you show him your cooter. You know she did.
Oh, dear.
You know that Sharon Stone went to the Dalai Lama without underpants.
Okay.
Of course, he probably doesn't wear. Does he wear underpants under there?
I don't know.
What if he farts and leaves a carbon copy?
Dude, not just do number six on the. We have derailed at every turn here.
Okay, number six is Titanic, and I have to tell a great story behind that.
Oh when, God!
Because Titanic was actually a very good movie, but it is known as a chick flick because of the love story in there. And what's funny is when it opened at Christmas of 97 or whenever it was, I was recently married and me and my wife were standing in line at a theater, and it was before I did movie reviews, so I actually had to sit, wait in line with the huddled masses.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back, we're waiting in line for the theater doors to open, and it's just nothing but couples.
Right.
Just all guys there with their girlfriend. And in the middle of the thing, I just turn to my wife and I say in full voice, I go, there better be some boobs in this movie or I am going to be pissed off.
Right.
And she looks at me. She's all embarrassed. She knows I do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And you look at every single woman in the audience or in the line and they're like, oh, they have this horrified look of what a pig.
And sure enough, there were boobs in the movie.
And all the guys were kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, 3 hours, better be some tits.
Oh,
and geez. We got to see them back right. when Kate Winslet. Like really look good.
Yeah. Okay.
She's not afraid to show her boobies.
Yeah. That. What was that last one?
Little Children.
Little Children. She was very naughty. And
naughty.
That's the best way
you
I can describe it.
You just made it sound creepier than I've been this entire segment.
I don't think so.
Ew, Kate, you're so naughty.
Anyways, you're up for number five.
I hear you like the Little Children. Anyways, number five is The Terminator. Now, I'm going to steal a line from Cole on this one. Go with me for a second.
Yeah.
This is really a love story. It's a love story about a guy.
Between a man and his robot.
Who travels back in time to save a woman's life. They fall in love, and they make a baby. And there's a robot in it, too, who kills people. That's just a side plot.
Side story.
But yeah, The Terminator, I think that actually classifies as a chick flick. It's got a female protagonist. And there are boobs in it as well.
All right.
For the record.
Silly bastard.
But you're going to defend the non-chick flick side of The Terminator. Go.
I don't know too many chicks that are really into it.
I literally know, I do know a woman who's like considers this one of the best love stories ever.
Fair enough. Anyways, moving on to number four, The Wedding Singer with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Also, the 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Pretty much anything with Adam Sandler.
It's pretty much any movie that Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore are in together.
As long as he doesn't have an accent.
As long as he doesn't have an accent. Well, we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
But I honestly think The Wedding Singer really gets on the border between just romance, the cheap kind of romantic comedy, and it also has that raunchy, you know,
edge to it?
Judd Apatow type comedy,
but
too.
Judd Apatow had nothing to do with it.
It exactly. It was pre-Apatow.
He did have something to do with the next one.
He did have something to do with the next one. The next one's Knocked Up. Probably the quintessential chick flick for guys of the last 5 years, I would say.
Because it makes us, all of us fat, hairy people, believe we can nail somebody like Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl. Yeah, and I thought it was very...
Dudes, it just won't happen. No matter how many clubs you go to in L.A., it is not happening
right.
if you look like us.
As much as it was you know, a film for the ladies, an estrofest, as I like to call them.
An estrofest? Yeah. Are you starting a trend here?
Yeah. As much as it was an estrofest, there was that whole stoner comedy element to it that works very well. So
okay.
Number two is all you.
Number two, When Harry Met Sally. Rob Reiner directed it. It was when he still made good movies. And although Bucket List was good. But When Harry Met Sally is, the reason it works so well for a guy is because a guy can totally relate to it. Because it's not just her, it's him. And you see kind of through both of their eyes. And it's just beyond being a chick flick and sort of a romantic comedy, it's just a damn good movie.
Right. So I'll agree. And then number one, I think, is a film that really transcends. It is a female-driven story in the sense that even the male characters in the movie, with the exception of maybe one boyfriend, well, no, there's only pretty much two straight male characters in the entire film.
Yes.
it is a completely female-driven story, The Devil Wears Prada, but very enjoyable no matter who you are or what bits and pieces you have.
Yes, and here's an interesting story on this one.
Yes.
This came out the same weekend as Superman Returns.
Right.
And it really gave Superman Returns a run for its money. Ultimately, Superman Returns beat it in box office.
Right.
But really not by much. It beat it by like $50 million. But what's funny is of all people in my life, the person who is the biggest fan that I know of that movie, my dad.
Yeah.
And you have to understand, my dad is like...
He produced You, so that...
Yeah,
that's really all we need to know.
But he's also like, he's not a huge movie fan to begin with, but he doesn't, you know, my mom's in like the Oprah kind of book club things, and he rolls his eyes on everything she reads.
Right.
He is very much, you know, he likes sort of like the space opera, but he's not a big Star Wars fan, but he likes, he's a science guy, and he likes football. He's very much, he is so not a chick flick material.
Right.
And he was like telling he like went and saw The Devil Wears Prada like 5 times in the theater, and he would like take people like, oh, you say to my auntie, oh, have you seen this? No, we got to go see it. And so they'd go see it. It was ridiculous how much he liked this movie, and it was him.
Yeah, it was, what was it, 2006?
2006, yeah.
It was in my top 10. Yeah, I think it was number 10 in my top 10 that year.
The only problem with it? Anne Hathaway didn't show her boobs.
Whatever. That's why Brokeback Mountain came out, okay?
I love that scene in Brokeback. I went back and watched it after the whole movie. I went back and watched that scene. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? She's like, oh.
I'm watching the scene with
Anthony Hathaway. Ledger, I didn't even know that was going to happen. And she takes off and boing, and they come popping out there like, you know, weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You are a carnivore, as they say.
Okay.
Anyways, there you have it. There is our long-winded...
Can I ask a question?
No.
About boobs?
Sure.
We'll just end on this.
Okay.
You know, they always say that the reason guys like boobs is it goes back to the whole breastfeeding maternity thing.
Okay.
Why is it then do women not have this huge fascination with boobs? I mean, some do, and that's totally awesome in my book. But... your average guy, there's very few guys that are going, boobs, I don't care about them. Most guys like boobs.
Uh-huh.
You like boobs.
I do.
Okay, I've got a couple in my closet at home just I keep around for safe. I shouldn't have said that. Anyways, but why do women then, why is it not like a fat? Because for breastfeeding with babies, it's asexual. You know, it's men, boys and girls do it. So why?
I don't know. We will leave you all to ponder that as we go to break. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, another relatively successful show. If you missed that.
As long as you skip that internet only
right,
segment.
Right, if you're listening to us on the radio, you were the lucky ones. The internet only segment, we went over our top 10 chick flicks that guys can like too, and it turned into... I will call them shenanigans, because that is probably the only way to describe them appropriately.
On the radio, at least.
On the radio, yes. So, in our final segment, as we always do, it is time to do a little DVD roundup with Kevin's terrible sound effects. But we'll start with me. This was, I felt, a great week for DVDs, and I will tell you, based on the story, because... we walked out of The Strangers this week, which was, I think when we see it on Tuesday?
Tuesday night.
Yeah, we saw it on Tuesday night, and I decided I need to go find Rambo.
Yeah, it was hysterical. And watch it. Like, where's there a Best Buy? Oh, no, where's there a Target?
Where's there a Target? Because I knew it was like 10 o'clock, so I was like, there's no way that the normal stores are going to be open. I need to go find a Target. But I was luckily down on the campus of The Ohio State University, and their Target is open until 10. So I walked in at 9:59.
And you're like, I must have Rambo.
And honestly, it was awesome because not only did I get Rambo on Blu-ray, but they also had all the other Rambo movies on sale on Blu-ray for $15.
A piece or together?
A piece, which was awesome because most Blu-rays are like $30.
Yeah.
So I was very excited. I bought Rambo and I bought First Blood. And then I came home and watched Rambo, and it was a religious experience.
That's one to watch. That is one to watch on high def with a great sound system.
Yes. So that is definitely my pick of the week. Rambo, but even better on Blu-ray.
And actually, you can buy the collector's thing where they have all, if you just standard DVD,
right,
all four movies in one big pack. Yeah. I think they have a giant knife that goes with it.
Really?
That you can kill people with.
Sweet. You can keep the DVD pack that kills people.
Yes.
So, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the Three Stooges collection, Volume 2, which covers some of their favorite shorts from 1937 to 1939. This is with Larry Moe and Curly.
I remember that season.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah. No, but it's with Curly before he died, obviously.
Okay.
What's odd is he does appear in episodes after he died, which is strange. But
it happens. Tupac keeps coming back to make records. So.
Right, and John Lennon.
Yeah.
The Three Stooges. The Three Stooges are great. I love the Three Stooges.
Right.
I will go to your house personally and revoke your man card if you don't.
Okay, fair enough. I also like the Stooges.
Who's your favorite Stooge?
Who's the bald one?
That would be Curly.
Yeah, Curly.
Curly? That's too easy. That's too easy. You know who my favorite was? Larry.
Okay.
Larry, he's the one with the curly hair.
Yeah.
First of all, he and Moe were the only ones that survived.
Right.
That third Stooge just kept dying.
Right.
They had Curly and he died, and they had Shemp and he died, and they had Joe who just sucked, and I think he died. And then they got Curly Joe.
Right.
And by that time, it was just depressing.
Okay. I did not know that they had replaced any of them at any point.
You don't even know who's brothers?
No.
Moe and Curly and Shemp were all brothers. And Larry Fine was just a really ugly friend of theirs with crazy, wild, curly hair.
All right.
Because Curly was not the one with the curly hair.
Right.
No, but I always loved Larry because he was. It's so easy to say Curly.
Right.
And Moe, I liked Moe a lot, but Moe was like, Larry just was there. He was always the guy who took the poke in the eye when they didn't have somebody else there for it.
Okay.
All right. I've put a lot of thought.
And moving on to our stinker of the week, which I will say up front, I absolutely 100% unequivocally disagree with this stinker of the week.
The stinker of the week is Grace is Gone.
I liked this movie.
Oh, my Lord.
I liked it a lot. It made me cry. John Cusack delivers probably one of the best performances of his career. It is
better off
sad.
Dead
it is, yeah. No, I strongly disagree.
No, I think Grace is Gone was just boring. I don't even think it showed up in the theaters outside of like New York and L.A. What? It just did not do.
I
very
agree
well.
With that part, but
yeah. It's a movie about a guy who is whose wife gets killed in Iraq, and then it's the whole movie of him not telling his kids.
Yeah.
And it's him struggling with it. I understand what they were doing, but I just saw it as he was such a tool and he was so, I mean, I understand grief and all that kind of thing, but they're a military family. He was in military. She's in military. You're in a war. You do know that this is a possibility. So I can understand it's devastating, but just wow.
Yeah. I just thought it was a compelling look at how someone has to deal with that. And it was a very rich.
And then when he finally
story.
Gets a chance to tell them, they like fade out to music and they just show them crying. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's the whole point. We were like, when's he going to tell them? And then he's like, oh, by the way, I have to tell you something.
Whatever. I like the movie. So, but I will say my sub stinker of the week are these two just random movies that have popped up with famous people in it. One is called Cleaner with Ed Harris and Sam Jackson. The other one is called The Take with Rosie Perez and John Leguizamo. Where have these movies come from?
These are the movies that are made in like Romania.
So straight to DVD that I had no idea of their entire existence. There's no way that these are not stinkers, except for the one with Sam Jackson. That could be good, just based on the Sam Jackson factor.
No, Sam Jackson's done some crap.
That's also true. So moving on, review wrap-up time. The Strangers, I think we disagreed.
I said kind of sucked.
And I said kind of rocks. And then with Sex and City, we
sort of agreed.
Yeah, because I said rocks.
And I said kind of rocks.
There you go. So Sex and the City, easily the pick of the week. But if you're in for a good scare, The Strangers is all right. Next week, we're going to talk about Kung Fu Panda. And we're going to see if we would like to mess with the Zohan. So in between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can get us over on fatguysthemovies.com. You can also search us on iTunes. Search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store. We pop right up. If you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. And of course, as always, you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. That's all I have.
Adios. Boop, 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 boop. I'd be like the white Bobby McFerrin.